Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Our website is filled with more encouraging interviews, all accessible at myfaithradio.com.
This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, a licensed marriage and family therapist, also known as the Relationship Doctor. And I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, where every week we're here and we're doing life together with you. And we're delighted that you have joined us this Saturday morning.
That's right. And Dr. Linda, before we get started,
yes,
we need to do some house cleaning. Last week, you questioned why I was calling you Dr. Mental.
Dr. Mental.
So rest of the show, it's Dr. Linda.
Yes.
All right.
Oh, you're a quick learner.
That's right. It took a week, but we got it. We want to make sure that you are joining us on Facebook and Twitter. We want to make this a conversation, so we would love to have you join us on social media with your comments and questions. On Facebook, you can go to Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, and on Twitter, it's at Dr. Linda Helps.
And you know what, Chris? This week, we were flooded with responses. I'm so excited. Our listeners were responding to our social media question, which is always about the show we're going to do.
Right.
So this week, we asked the social media question of, what is one thing that you have learned when dealing with a difficult person? Mm. Because our topic today is going to be on dealing with difficult people. This is actually a chapter from my new book, We Need to Talk. And I think we can agree that we all have a difficult person in our lives somewhere, right?
There are a couple, yes.
You could, their names come to mind when
yes,
you think
right
about
away.
It?
Yeah. Would you like to know who they are?
You want to say their names
no,
on the radio?
No, no.
That's probably one of the things I would suggest you not do. That actually is the number one point. Don't tell somebody who's difficult that they're difficult.
Right. don't call them out on it. They're probably
right.
not open to that type of conversation.
It doesn't seem to help the conversation
right.
when you do that. So we want you to think about a relative who's always right or somebody who wants to argue all the time, maybe a boss who criticizes you no matter what, or that neighbor who complains about everything. And when it comes to problems or conflicts, difficult people just make it hard to approach them or to even try to resolve an issue. So I'm excited because I'm telling you, we got so many good comments on social media on this topic.
It's a problem.
It is a problem.
There are difficult people, and we may even be the difficult person.
I might be.
I might be the difficult neighbor, and in some cases, that is me.
Is it really?
We've got a neighborhood full of dogs.
Yes.
That bark, and I take issue with it.
But you know, when we moved into our house, when we moved here, somebody put in our mailbox, if you have a dog, it was like the most angry note, if you have a dog, then you better pick up behind them. And
yeah.
it went on and on. I was like, okay, well, welcome to the neighborhood. Now, I do pick up with my dog, but
right.
there are people who walk in our cul-de-sac who don't,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to figure out who those people are. But we won't go up to them and say, hey, you're a difficult person.
No, don't do that. But what happens if we are the difficult person?
Yeah, I think that's a first place to start, is to ask yourself a number of questions. So I'm going to go through a couple of questions. If you're listening to this, just listen and ask yourself, does this fit me? So here's a couple of questions you can ask yourself. Do I place high and unrealistic demands on other people? Do I easily get upset when other people don't make me feel good? Am I irritated over minor things? Do I get intensely emotional to the point where I really can't even think? Do I become angry when other people let me down? And do I lash out at people when I'm hurting? Do I blame them? Do I escalate conflict to the point of hurting someone?
Tough questions. And why do we lash out at the most at the people that we say we love?
I know, because in some ways, if you think about it, they might feel safe to us.
Mm,
so
yeah.
if you lash out to somebody that you know you love, you're probably not thinking this person's going to walk away or abandon me or leave me. Now, if you do that over and over and over, that might be the result, and you don't want that result. But that's one of the issues. I think sometimes we do that to the people who are closest to us because there is a level of trust. That doesn't mean that that's a good reaction. So we really have to look at if we're one of those people who is intensely escalating conflict and very difficult to deal with, you want to make sure you're not that person.
Why is it important to work on this, especially if you have the tendency to blame others?
Well, because you're not going to do very well in your relationships. And, you know, behind all relationships, people want to be known, they want to be loved, they want to be accepted, they want to be validated, and they want to grow in an intimacy with someone else. So if you're that difficult person, mm-hmm. I would say when we start this conversation that you should work on yourself first. And so here's a couple of things you can do. You can, first of all, work on calming down.
Yeah.
Just, you know, take a deep breath, count to 10, maybe take a time out. But it's really important, especially when dealing with conflict, to calm your body down.
And you don't want to avoid conflict forever, but stepping out for 5 or 10 minutes may not be a bad idea.
That's a good, that would be a time out, just like you do with kids. You know how when they get so upset, you just put them in a time out and let them calm down.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good step for all of us. The other thing, if you're a difficult person, is you have to begin to embrace and tolerate stress and distress. So you can't wish your life would always be free of stress. You know, you can continue to get upset with that person just makes me so mad. That person just upsets me. But you have to get to the point with, okay, there's going to be some very upsetting and distressing people, but I've got to learn to tolerate that and work through it.
In a way, you have to acknowledge that we are all sinful.
Yes.
So you almost need to lower your expectations just a little bit. And not put everyone on a pedestal of perfection because they are not.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point because you're really kind of getting at the idea of grace and that we all have difficult areas of our life. And if we're constantly getting upset with other people, it's sort of what Jesus talked about by not looking at the plank in our own eye.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And what's going on with us. I think we need to be aware of our behavior, and this is being intentional. And if over and over somebody is telling you, you know, I don't really want to talk to you because you get so worked up, or whenever we have a conversation, you're constantly blaming and telling me what I did wrong. If you're hearing that kind of feedback, then you probably need to take some inventory on your own life. And then work on some coping skills. And this, again, has to do with calming down. Get some ways of clearing your mind or telling yourself that you need to stay calm, or just some skills of coping better. Maybe do some exercise, work on your emotions, talk it out with somebody, whatever you might need. Because the idea here then is to become more personally effective in your relationships.
Mm. You know, a lot of these problems in dealing with difficult people come from the fact that we all to some degree struggle with a pride issue. So one of your points was take inventory of yourself. Well, who wants to do that?
I know it's hard to do that, isn't it? But
right.
It's really the right thing. And if you think about scripturally where it says, examine my heart, O Lord, search my heart. If there's any wicked way in me, let me see it. That is an attitude of humility and constantly coming before the Lord and saying, what's going on in me that's problematic? What am I doing that I need to work on? If we all had that attitude, all of our relationships would improve. So our first step in this dealing with difficult people show today is that we're going to look at ourselves and decide first if we're the difficult person. But we're going to move on in the next couple of segments on how to react to those people that are difficult when you might not be the difficult one. We'll be back in a moment.
What is one thing you've learned about how to deal with difficult people?
I would say generally in my experience, most people who I found to be difficult, once I guess gave them some sort of chance to like work through things, they didn't actually prove to be as difficult as maybe I was being the difficult one and accepting their differences like between our relationship.
So looking at both sides of
the... Yeah, so just kind of expanding the perspective.
The other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, hey, watch out. But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
All right, so what's one thing you've learned about how to deal with difficult people?
Dealing with difficult people, you need to put their needs in front of your own. Try to have patience and do not jump to conclusions. Listen to them first. Try to see it from all points of views and then approach them.
And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about dealing with difficult people.
Oh, and there's that pride issue again.
Yeah.
Put the other person before you.
I know. Isn't that great?
Oh,
patience.
She's great. Yeah.
Patience.
She probably is a fantastic conversationalist.
Or she has no difficult people in her life.
She's never been around any difficult
That's
people.
That's right. She just has a great life. Well, listen, we've got so many social media responses. I want to get at a couple of these. We had several people give the same answer. So I'm going to lump a couple of these together. Angela and Sue, and she just calls herself Hope Coach Girl. So I don't know who she is. So that was a Twitter response. Mm-hmm. But they all said that one of the important issues is boundaries.
There is actually a great book on that.
Really?
And I've read this book. It's called Boundaries.
Yeah, it's by friends of mine, Henry
right.
Cloud and John Johnson.
That's
yeah.
It could not be more applicable to every aspect of your life.
Yeah, that's why it was such a big seller. So
right.
Sue says, realize that I'm not going to change them, but I'm going to love them anyway. So set some really good boundaries in that relationship. And like I said, we had several people who brought up the idea of boundaries. So that's one of the main advices from a lot of people that are listening.
Sherry talks about patience and extreme discretion in choosing wise words when discoursing with a difficult person. And doing that on the fly, as they say, is tough.
Yeah, because you really don't want to inflame the conversation. That's the issue. So even if the other person is escalating and blaming mm-hmm. and saying things, you need to stick to the facts and to be much more neutral in your language so that you're not bringing that up. Well, Anne says, if someone you love and they're basically a good person is the difficult person, just ignore the small things.
Right.
If it's a negative and vindictive person, you can love them from afar.
little
unless you're married to them. That won't work if you're married to the
That's
person.
Right.
If you're too much of a distance, that could be a problem.
I like what Tina says. Pray and keep your mouth shut.
Wow.
Wow.
And you know what? There are times when that's what you
yes.
have to do because you don't have permission to speak into someone's life. Michael says, when dealing with the grumpy old man, sometimes he wants you to push back to earn his respect, cower from him, and he will never look at you as a peer. That pushback must respect his knowledge, but come with confidence. And a little bit of humor doesn't hurt mm-hmm. either.
If it's placed in the right spot.
Right.
Now, humor, because that's one of my tactics.
I've noticed. Does it backfire sometimes?
It can be sorely misplaced most of the time.
You have to be understood, and
right.
people need to understand your type of humor when you're using it. Phyllis says, remembering that God loves that person as much as he loves me, and to mm-hmm. keep the right perspective, I look for the one thing we have in common. Maybe it's kids, gardening, cooking, and I focus on building on that. Often the person's attitude or even mind changes and meaningful dialogue can begin. Isn't that
yeah.
wise?
Yeah, that is very good.
Wow.
I like what Jean says. She actually gave a fairly long response, but the very first thing she says is, it's not your job to fix them.
That's good.
And especially for us men, because we like to jump in, deal with this, get it taken care of, and move on. And many times I think we husbands get ourselves in trouble by immediately becoming a problem solver, and that's not necessarily what we need right off the bat.
That's good. And she's another one who says that boundaries are super important, and most of the time you really have to stick to your guns because they are so good at busting right through those boundaries. Mm. And then she adds, be true to the Lord and make sure you know what the Lord would require of you in each situation. Sometimes it is time to cut the cord completely.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, if we're thinking about really difficult people who might be abusive to you, people that are physically unsafe, it is not a good idea to go up and confront somebody in that situation. It might be better to set up some really strong boundaries, maybe a restraining order, or you just have little interaction. Or if you have interaction, you do it in a public space where other people are around. So sometimes that cutting the cord might be necessary.
Sharon talks about putting herself in the other person's shoes. And again, We go back to that. Not being concerned about yourself, mm-hmm. but thinking more of the other person. So tough.
Well, that really is all about empathy. Mm. What Sharon is talking about here is empathy. When you put yourself in someone else's shoes and you start thinking about the difficult life that they might have had. You know, Chris, I've been asked several times when I've spoken on this topic, are people born difficult or are they made difficult? And it's a really important question when we're talking about empathy here, because most people are not born difficult. Now, we know from the research that some babies are fussy.
Right.
They might have a low frustration tolerance. They might get irritable easier than other people. We know that. Those are predispositions and traits that sometimes are genetically passed on to us. But that doesn't mean we're necessarily going to be like that. We still have the ability to work on those issues, to develop patience, especially with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if you think about what the fruit of the Spirit is, it includes patience, it includes self-control, it includes long-suffering, kindness, all the things that are required on our part when we're dealing with a difficult person. And there's nothing in Scripture that says, hey, if that guy is difficult, go ahead, just forget all the fruit of the Spirit, just do whatever you need to do
right.
and take him down. You know, it's the exact opposite.
If people are not born difficult, you mentioned childhood attachment problems here.
Right.
What's unique about that?
Well, if you come from a family where you didn't feel validated and loved and accepted, and you grew up with what we call an insecure attachment, which is you're just not really sure of your own identity and how you are with other people, mm-hmm. then you could constantly be goading other people or testing other people or seeing if you do something really bad to that person, will they stay with you to
right.
make sure that you know that you're accepted? And so that kind of insecure attachment a lot of times will result in you feeling very insecure, and then you have trouble when you're in those interpersonal relationships. You also can just go through life and make bad choices.
Right.
And then blame other people. And sometimes parents are enabling that in children by not making their children responsible
True.
For the choices that they're making. Other times you just might have a negative experience with somebody, and there might be trauma or loss in your life where dealing with other people is just really difficult, and so you don't use the best coping skills.
Well, all of these things add up, and we deal with these people day in and day out. We might be prone to say, you know what, I just want to avoid it.
I know.
Keep these people away from me. That's not safe.
Well, again, if they're not people that you're going to really encourage in your life, you can have minimal contact with difficult people. I mean, I do know when I've been dealing with friendships that there are certain people that I don't think I want to bring into my close circle. And I think it'd be better if I just had an acquaintance with that person.
That's the way you treat me.
Well,
maybe I'm just...
So not yeah. true. It's so not true. We go to the same church. Come
That's
on.
True. That's
we
true.
We sing in the choir together.
Right.
People know that. Although we don't sing the same part.
No, you. I'm not an alto.
I'm now a soprano. Did you know that?
But,
she moved me from alto to soprano. This is quite the challenge.
Well, better you than me.
I'm trying not to be a difficult person about
right.
it, though. Listen, Warren says, keep listening to all they have to say and then ask again and again. And ask if there's more. And then when they're totally spent, then emphasize with them and share the wisdom from the Lord. Share only what they receive. It's not my job to get the person to agree, but only to hear. So the Lord could then write something on their hearts. So he's got a very spiritual perspective on
right.
this.
Did you already mention Amy who said agree to disagree?
No, I didn't. But that's sometimes what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Ingo says, I just dealt with a difficult person. Oh, you had a personal experience here.
Right.
So the question comes at the right time. I would simply put it this way, and this is really important what he's going to say here. Ask forgiveness for the things you did wrong. Own your part of the problem, then move on. Know that full reconciliation is not always possible or necessary. And then he put a little smiley emoticon on there for
and
me.
And he started his comment with LOL.
Yeah.
So he's taking this pretty well.
Well, he's laughing. The laugh out loud was because he just dealt with
right.
somebody that was difficult. So it came at the right time. But I love the part about forgiveness.
Right.
Now,
that's
important.
He mentions that full reconciliation is not always possible or necessary.
But see, what
that?
He's talking about here is the forgiveness. So the forgiveness is the part that you have control over.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness is something you can do as an individual. Reconciliation takes two people.
I see.
So you can't always reconcile, especially if somebody is very unwilling, mm-hmm. and they're just going to stay in that place of blame. And they're going to say, no matter what you say to them, they're going to say, well, it's still your fault. And I've had this happen where I've told somebody, I'm really sorry, I didn't react well, and I'm owning my part of the problem. But then they never own their part of the problem. And so it's hard to reconcile that. So forgiveness in so many areas of our lives, forgiveness is one of the essentials.
Well, what is the one thing that you have learned when dealing with a difficult person? You can hear more about this or actually read more about this on Dr. Linda's blog at myfaithradio.com. And there you can also listen to this show and share it with a friend. We will be back in just 1 minute.
All right, what is one thing you've learned about how to deal with difficult people?
I feel like if you find some sort of common ground with someone you find difficult to deal with, they become less difficult because they're able to relate to you better. And if not, then you just don't deal with them.
Threats of war, racial tension, divorce, natural disasters. If you are like me, sometimes I just have to turn off the news and remind myself that there is actually good in our world. It's so easy to listen to all the bad news and become worried. Worried about the future, about the Middle East, crime, finances, health, family problems, and, you know, so it goes. But Scripture tells us to take those worried thoughts captive, to be anxious about nothing. That is one of the reasons I wrote Letting Go of Worry. I didn't want worry to grip so many of us and cause us to lose our peace. So the next time you hear bad news, remind yourself to take those anxious thoughts captive. If you need help doing so, Letting Go of Worry is a good resource and will walk you through the steps to living in peace and contentment.
Letting Go of Worry by Dr. Linda Mental, available on her website, drlindamental.com, and online.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Okay, what is one thing you've learned about how to deal with difficult people?
I've learned that difficult people are made. They haven't always been that way. So typically they had a run-in with someone who is really difficult or whatever. And it's kind of like just defense almost.
So it stems from something deeper.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like people aren't difficult on purpose, you know? So sometimes you just gotta hold on out a little bit and see beyond the difficulty.
Well, that was great insight from one of our listeners. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about difficult people, and we've had great responses.
In the last segment, you said difficult
right.
people are not born that way.
Right, and she knew that.
Right.
She read my book ahead of time, because there is a chapter
has.
On that.
That's right.
Well, Casey from Twitter says, starting with empathy. So that has to do with what our listener just said. Starting with empathy goes a long way towards arriving at a place of conflict resolution. So empathy, big.
Letting go of yourself and thinking of the other person. And Bruce says that sometimes this is the perfect opportunity to keep your opinions to yourself.
You know, that probably would work really well a lot of times when that relationship isn't an intimate relationship and you really don't need to make your point mm-hmm. with somebody. It's like choosing your battles.
Right.
This may not be one that you want to do. Well, Sarah had a very insightful answer. She's talking about sometimes people just aren't going to listen. They'll hear you, but they won't internalize what you're saying or change their hurtful behaviors, not necessarily because they don't want to, but because they simply aren't able.
Oh, wow.
It's still important to state your feelings, using I statements, of course, for your own personal validation, more so for them to change their behavior.
I've had this situation in my own life. There was a conflict issue, a difficult person, and a family member said, this person is unable to deal with this.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of wounding and a lot of hurt in their relationships, a lot of bad experiences, and that usually is what motivates that. Well, Heidi says, and it's kind of related to this whole, a lot of what we've been talking about, you can only do the right thing on your end. There is no making someone else do anything.
No, we can't fix it.
And you can't make somebody. So I love that when people say, they make me so mad. Hmm. Then I go, they can't make you.
Yeah.
Anything. You choose whether or not you're going to respond that way.
In a nice way, you say, that's your problem.
It is. Mm. But now I have to respond to it, not make it a problem by the way I'm responding.
I mean, you, when you counsel with someone who says, they make me so angry, you have to tell them that's you.
Well, the anger's okay, but what you do with the anger mm-hmm. is what's important. Wow. Paula says, I love this. Tell them I am praying for them. They either are broken and crying for help, or they don't know how to respond and are speechless. Either way, I got the message out. I'm praying for you. Mm. Wow. If I could do that every time, that's biblical to pray for somebody.
Right. David says, patience. God forgives, but our sin is forever. But that's not what that means.
You have to read, Chris. God forgives our sin, but mean.
Mean is forever.
But mean is forever.
Whoa, sin is not patience. Forever.
Not for the Christian.
Right, yeah.
Right? It's gone. It's forgiven. Let's make sure we don't get some bad theology
exactly
here on
right.
the radio.
Dr. Linda, we need to talk about your program.
Yeah, where sin is forever.
Right.
It's not forever. Yeah, but mean. What do you think
mean.
About that? Mean is forever.
Wow.
Woo. Sounds like you've been wounded a little bit. But Sherman says, as counter to that, love is not easily offended.
Wow.
So we've had a lot of great responses. I think we got most of them in, and there's a few more, but I want to give us some help at the very end here. I mm-hmm. don't know how much time we've got, just a few minutes left, I think. But let's give a little bit of help. We've already talked about not telling the person that they're difficult. That doesn't work. Don't argue with the person and try to prove you're right, because when you try to argue with someone who's difficult, you're only going to escalate the situation. We talked about assessing your safety. If somebody's really difficult, they're out of control, drop the issue, take a time out, or leave the situation. Another really good guideline is stick with the issue no matter what the other person does, but don't get into their level with blaming and yelling and accusing. Try to keep it calm. Be very specific about the problem, and don't be baited into blaming.
You know, if we can go back to one social media comment, Annette says in her past, she was always the one to be the peacemaker at the cost of being a doormat. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, you have to sometimes stand up for your issue, but you have to do it in a kind, respectful way and take a stance. And that's that setting boundaries that we've been talking about that's so important. Well, we've got a lot of other suggestions. There's a whole bunch of them in the book on We Need to Talk. But we also want to encourage our listeners to go to myfaithradio.com. Click on my program, and every week, Chris, we're putting a blog up there. So there's a blog on 7 things you can do with difficult people. We didn't get to all of them today.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go to myfaithradio.com, you can get that help. So we're out of time again, so I'm just going to say many thanks to you, Chris, my co-host, to our producer, Matt Garcia, our man on the street, Andrew Claudio, who's audio.
Audio,
and
right.
Claudio. Yeah. Hey, that rhymes. From all of us here at Faith Radio, talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
The Dr. Linda Mintel Show is a production of WWMC Radio, Lynchburg, Virginia.